Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind-the-scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
How to join the game. 1. Watch the live show and listen to the conversation.
2. Participate and share your experiences on the topic during the live show.
3. Type your thoughts or experience via comment section.
4. All participants are eligible to win a prize.
5. The more you comment, the greater your chances of winning.
6. We will use Wheel of Names to determine the lucky winner.
So first off, I'm just curious, Consul Gilbert, where are you from in the Philippines? And can you give us a little bit of a background of your family?
Okay, so I'm from Quezon Province in a small town called Sariaya, which is around 70 miles south of the capital of Manila. Mm-hmm. So we're very near Manila, but I lived a provincial life, as you said. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the province. I was born and raised there. I spent my grade school, my high school in Sariaya. I developed lasting friendships with my classmates there, and that's home for me. That's mm-hmm. home for me. So regarding my family background, I am the youngest of four siblings. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a close-knit family, mm-hmm. where, you know, perseverance, mm-hmm. education, mm-hmm. hard work are just the way of life. My parents are both teachers, and wow. they have instilled in me the value of education, because they said that this is something that nobody can take away from you.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. And I also can relate from that lesson mm-hmm. that you got from your parents, because I know when my parents were still alive, especially my father, he used to tell us that education is the most important inheritance
correct.
That yes. we can pass on to all to our children.
Correct, yes.
Right. So we have that in mind, inculcated in our mind, that yes, as long as we study hard, we'll go places.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So growing up as a kid, did you always dream of being in this field, like in the public service?
Well, as a child, I came from a very religious family as well. Mm-hmm. And as a child, you know, in the province, you start out, you go to your local parish, to your church, and you serve as the altar boy mm-hmm. or as a Christian or something. And initially, joining the seminary was my dream when I was a child, because mm-hmm. But I've done that only. I even thought of it going to the local seminary in high school, mm-hmm. but I was able to only do that in college after high school. So, mm-hmm. would you believe that was my first? That was my first training to become mm-hmm. to become a missionary priest. So that was that's a long time ago. It was 1996 when I joined the Claritian Missionaries. They mm-hmm. are. Congregation founded in Spain, mm-hmm. and then I spent my university days in the seminary studying philosophy, mm-hmm. and after graduating from college, I went to their postulancy and novitiate program in Zamboanga City, mm-hmm. Which has given me the opportunity to really be with the people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like because in the seminary, of course, we were the life in the seminary has given me the opportunity to value the, you know, of studying,
yes,
and learning,
yes.
Because, you know, our it's the schedule is very rigid, you know, like this time you wake up, time for prayer, time for study, time for eating, time for playing, for games. So everything is planned. So that was essentially my training, and then my exposure when I was in Zamboanga City has given me the chance to be involved and be exposed with the people and what is happening in our country.
Wow, so you developed that sense of discipline,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's that's impressive that now we're really learning so much about our consul here. But growing to like both teachers as parents, I bet you they did not only make a difference in a lot of their students and their pupils' lives and everything, but as a child of teachers, mm-hmm. I know they have passed on to you a lot of lessons and can you share as those important lessons or values that you have learned from your teacher parents?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, education is the key. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have always instilled in us that education is the only way by which we can improve ourselves and mm-hmm. Be ready to be out there in the world. And one of the lessons I also learned from them is the value of service. I mean, I grew up in a simple family. We may not have so many things, but I saw that growing up, that in our village, for example, my parents are always there, ready to help people who are in need. I mean, and even with their students, mm-hmm. I saw that how my mom has been telling us that, you know, when she sees her students without lunch or something, I mean, he goes out of her way to provide food to their to these children, and he even volunteers, and even on a weekend, for those of her students who cannot you know, catch up in school, she gives tutoring lessons for free.
Wow!
So that's how what I saw in service and dedication to their work. And that is something that I admire of them. Another thing, of course, is integrity, because they would say, okay, you got your education, you're educated, you got your career, you're successful in your career, but what defines the person is his character and his integrity.
Oh yes.
So that is something that they stress, that, you know, being genuine and upright is the foundation of, you know, success in life.
Yes, yes. So they really served as a role model.
Correct, correct.
Right? Because there are parents that, of course, they tell you something, but they do another thing, right? And it's hard to be a parent, because
correct.
As a parent myself, you know, we know how much we love our kids and we want the best for them. And we try to really pass on them values and characters that wherever they go, they're going to be okay, that we feel at peace because we know that we have raised them well.
Correct, correct.
So it seems like your parents, other than them being teachers, who are, I salute all the teachers out there, because there's no profession in the world without teachers. So they are heroes, right? I wouldn't be a nurse without a teacher, right? So I salute all of them. So they actually served as a role model for all of you. Now,
If I may add also another maybe lesson that I got from my dad, for example, is that he's a real go-getter. You know, he's quick to decision. If he puts his mind and heart to something, he really, you know, give everything to whatever he does on whatever project that he's engaged to. But what I remember him telling me always is that is the value of discernment and prayer, for example. He told me, I mean, my father would not appear to be, you know, the usual religious or something, but he told me that as he begins his day, he spends some quiet moment to pray and to seek guidance on whatever decisions that he has to make for the day before you know, thinking of what to eat for breakfast or what to do, what is like at work or something. But that moment of silence is what, you know, gives him direction on what he will do for the day, and that is something that I try to do with whatever I do as well. With so many things going on, I mean, so many schedules, activities, but that moment when you wake up and you a lot of time to, you know, to self-reflection, and to chart the things that you want to accomplish and do that day, that will really help.
Yeah, and I know it's like setting the tone for the day.
Yes, that's true.
And it's claiming a high vibration, because it's like the law of intention, right?
Correct.
You set your intentions right in the beginning of your day, and no matter what happens, I mean, you got it, because you took charge.
Correct.
And that is a great habit that we should actually try to work on every day. And I do that too. Even at the end of the day, you just end your day with gratitude.
Correct, yes.
And then you just release any negative things that might have happened and just claim that it's a good day after all, right? So, and that's, wow, that's amazing. I think we're gonna, see how fast time is, right? We're now actually on our first break, and then we're gonna read, or I'm gonna read some of the comments when we come back, and we'll continue with our chat with Consul Gilbert here. See you in a bit.
Thank you.
All right, we're back, and I'm just going to read some of the comments from all our viewers. So let's see. From Alexis Oliveros, good morning, Texas, watching from Pangasinan. God bless always. Thank you so much, Alexis, and God bless you as well. And then we have Ruby Vergara, good morning, Texas, watching from Pangasinan. Thanks always for sharing inspiring stories to us. God bless always. Wow, thank you, Ruby. And we have Alexis again. Good morning, Texas, watching from Pangasinan. God bless always. And we have Joanne Esterija. Good evening, Texas, from Pangasinan. Morning po, Ma'am MJ and Sir. Good morning. And we have Aramina Ungria. Good morning, Ma'am MJ, watching from Pangasinan. Thank you so much. And another comment from Ruby. Good morning, Texas. Thank you for always sharing inspiring stories with us. God bless always. And we have Lisa Ragilman Ungria. Have a blessed day and blessed morning, Mom MJ, watching from Pangasinan. God bless you always. God bless you too. Maraming salamat po. Mary Grace Recapor. Good evening, Texas, watching from Pangasinan. God bless always. Very nice. Alvin Reyes, good morning, Ma'am MJ, watching from Pangasinan. God bless your show, Ma'am. Maraming salamat. Thank you so much. Javira Reyes, good morning, Ma'am MJ, and to our guest watching from Pangasinan. Maraming salamat po. And from Javita Reyes again, good morning, Mom MJ, and to our guests watching from Pangasinan. All right. Thank you all so much for your comments. And to all our other viewers, come on, just feel free to give your comments. If you have any questions for our consul here, you are free to, to give your comments. So let's continue our chat with consul. It's very interesting because I didn't know, never in my mind would have crossed that you even went to the seminary. Wow, that is so amazing. You know, we are raising the Philippines to be really like God-fearing people. And I did that too growing up, although I didn't grow up in the church, but I always believe there's a higher power that is guiding us, that's blessing all of us. And it's so amazing to know that you actually went to the seminary. Wow.
6 years.
Wow, 6 years. 6 years. That's more than a bachelor's degree. Right? So what other paths did you actually want to do in your life?
So, well, as what they say, many are called, but few are chosen, right? So yeah, after 6 years, I left the seminary, and that was actually one of the crossroads of my life. You know, I mean, that was 2002. When the next question is, what will I do with my life?
Yeah.
You know, it's like for the last 6 years, my journey is towards one end. And then after 6 years, I left and have to, you know, think of what path I want to do with my life. Some of my peers, because I finished philosophy. So some of my peers are, you know, going to law school, or some are joining the academia, because that's what we do.
When you finish philosophy, you teach. Or they say that you can answer people in like filosofio.
So really, I mean, leaving the seminary was a profound turning point. Imagine, as I said, investing 6 years, preparing for that one path, only to suddenly pivot to an unknown, you know, future. It was a humbling experience. Like, I remember graduating, even with honors, when I was in college, and yet feeling uncertain of what will I do next. Well, despite the uncertainty, I was determined to find a stable and meaningful career in government service. As I said, I'm lucky to get honor, so I have like automatic civil service eligibility.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that was my first thinking. Send letters to different government agencies, yeah. Department of Tourism, Presidential Management Staff, Department of Foreign Affairs. Mm-hmm. So those are the some of the options that I wanted to make.
Uh-huh.
So when I landed a contractual position at the DFA, at the Department of Foreign Affairs, it was a contractual position. It was a stepping stone mm-hmm. that allowed me to learn the ropes of public service. And then when I felt that this is the path that I really want to do, mm-hmm. I enrolled in a Master's in International Relations program at mm-hmm. UP Diliman.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a year or so in that program, I decided to take the Foreign Service Officers examinations. And luckily, I passed. And mm-hmm. so that's the reason why I became an officer of the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that journey was filled with uncertainty and self-discovery. Imagine, I was a young person of, 22 years old?
Oh, you were only 22
then?
That time,
because I just remember, just graduated from the university.
Mm-hmm.
And then, really, I mean, we all pass through that phase, right? That,
oh, yes.
At that
yes.
crossroad, like, what yeah. do I want to do with my life? And,
yes.
That period of uncertainty, self-discovery, ultimately led to where I am today. It is actually a reminder that sometimes the most unexpected detours can lead to fulfilling destinations. And every step, no matter how challenging, is part of the journey to realizing your true calling. And that's the
wow.
core. Don't leave that core.
Yes.
Because remember, the core desire was to travel to all corners of the world. That time to uh-huh. you know, to preach the word of God,
yeah.
but it just changed, transformed to another. Now
yes.
I'm still following that core desire of, you know, going out to the corners of the world, but
wow.
The purpose now is, you know, public service, and of course still serving our kabubayans all over the world.
Wow, you know what, that is so profound. You know, Consul Gilbert, I believe in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever experiences or challenges that you went through,
correct,
those are all part of God's plan. Because those actually shaped you
mm-hmm.
to who you are, what kind of servant God wanted you to be. Because we can serve in any capacity.
Correct. Yes.
You don't have to have a position in power. You don't have to be a priest
mm-hmm.
Or a pastor or a teacher. In anything, in any way, you can serve.
Yes.
Yes. No matter what role you have in the community, because we are like all part of one body. It's
correct.
Like
yes.
the hand cannot function without
mm-hmm.
you know, any other parts. We are a whole. So
yes.
God actually set us up for our calling. And it's so funny because it's the same thing. You know, I didn't really want to become a nurse first. You know,
mm-hmm.
I grew up in public speaking.
Okay.
So it's the other way around. Like, you know, when you're public speaking, you tend to become a lawyer as well,
mm-hmm.
right? Those I went actually into mass communication and all that. I thought I was going to be a broadcaster because everybody thought that I would go into that field.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my family, I had to sacrifice my dream. But then, you know how God good is. He did not only make me a nurse, which I can still serve people. I'm
correct.
Serving the
yes.
sick and all
yes.
that. But still, he's given me this opportunity
mm-hmm.
to live my passion, which is this. I'm serving in a different way, like sharing stories and sharing like important people in our community that can actually inspire people, serving in my own little way. But so during that time, your preparation to become a public servant in the government, being so young, was there any, like, were there more challenges than usual? Because usually they get more experience, right? Was there a competition against, like, more experienced in your field? Did you experience that? Or did you have that kind of challenge?
Well, in the Philippine Foreign Service, my experience is that, okay, we're Foreign Service Officers Examination is an examination being given by the Department of Foreign Affairs annually for everyone. And this is, I should say, one of the hardest, civil service or government examinations.
Yes.
I think for my batch, there were, we started out like around 3,000.
Whoa.
And
yeah.
Only 24 remain, you know.
Oh
past
my.
After, that's like a 2 years.
Wow. So you
like,
are the cream of the crop.
Written exams and then interview and all those things. So it's difficult. But then again, that's that's the easy part, passing the examinations. After that, they have like a 6 month cadetship program with your batchmates, and then they teach you, you know, all the ropes surrounding foreign service.
Mm-hmm.
They even in that cadetship program, they even taught us how to do ballroom dancing and even tinikling and all those things. I mean,
yeah,
because the idea is to mold us or to train us.
You have to be well-rounded,
yes. Well-rounded individuals. Because, and I think the Foreign Service, the Philippine Foreign Service, you know, trains its officer to be more of a generalist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
We have, because we can get assigned to anywhere,
uh-huh.
any part of the world.
Oh yes.
So that's part of the training. It's challenging, but it's either you when you jump to the water, you swim,
uh-huh,
and that's the only
course.
Option.
That's right. You gotta survive.
I know.
Yeah,
yes,
you gotta
yes.
survive. Wow, it's very, very good. I'm really enjoying our conversation, but we gotta go on another short break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we'll read more of comments from our viewers. So see you in a bit.
Join us for a captivating new series where Lon sits down with the trailblazers of the music and entertainment world. Discover the stories behind the faces and voices that shape our culture and community.
We will bring you exclusive interviews with industry legends and rising stars. Behind the scenes insights and get a peek into the creative processes and personal journeys. Artists and performers and their upcoming shows and events.
Stay tuned for more updates and sneak peeks. Follow us on social media and subscribe to our channel.
All right, we're back. It's so good. So we're gonna read more comments, shall we? So okay, aren't you all excited? We're learning so much from Consul Gilbert. I didn't know how the process of becoming a diplomat in the Philippines is. Because I remember even when I was in college, I got, you know, you got that civil service eligibility,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't even look into it. I'm glad I'm learning from you. It's a great, you know, way to go. So even if you don't become a nurse or something, you still have a chance to go abroad. Right. Anyway, we'll read some more comments. So let's see. From Jerwin Regilman Ungria. Good evening, Ma'am MJ, watching from Pangasinan. And we have Amadeo Junio. Good morning, Ma'am MJ, watching from Pangasinan. Maraming salamat, mga taga Pangasinan. And Attorney Orly Dizon has a question.
Okay.
I think. He says, has Consul Gilbert's tour of duty been extended for another full term? Is he eager to go home or does he still want to stay here? What is it like to be deployed to different countries every 6 years? All right. So you got to answer that. But let's see. We have, I think that's it. So would you mind answering that, Consul Gilbert, for Attorney Orly? Hi, Attorney Orly.
I'm here on borrowed times.
Okay.
So, well, in the Philippine Foreign Service, our tour of duty is usually 6 years. So
okay.
I arrived in Houston in June 2018
yeah.
to as part of I led the landing team. We call it the landing team
mm-hmm.
Because we arrived before the consul general.
Mm-hmm.
There's five of us: mm-hmm. finance, admin, myself leading the team.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are in June 2018, we are preparing to reopen
yes,
the Philippine
yes.
Consulate General in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So we arrived here without knowing anybody.
Yes.
You know, I mean, of course, there were some mapping missions who went
yeah.
here before of us, networked us with key individuals
yes,
to
yes.
talk to. But the job is really starting from
scratch. Right.
Yes, like even finding this office,
mm-hmm.
Building what's inside the office, fit to purpose, and all those things. So those are the things we do. So to answer the question, tapos na po my 6 years here in Houston is finished
mm-hmm.
Because that was June 2018 to June 2024.
Yeah.
Thankfully, because we are in the period of transition
uh-huh.
now, they have extended me for some few months, initially end of September, and now end of November.
Oh.
So, but that's
yes.
it. I mean,
oh,
okay. Well,
yeah.
And we are in the Foreign Service are very aware of that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we cannot stay.
Yeah.
Longer than, you know, 6 years, our tour of duty in
any country
that
yeah.
we're assigned to. So
mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to, you know, to going back home,
mm-hmm.
Back to Manila. I will go back again to the headquarters, to the Department
okay.
of Foreign Affairs, to stay there for maybe 2 years or so
mm-hmm.
Before getting another 6 years assignment. I still don't know where. That's
okay.
that's how our life is.
wow. But are you excited, or do you feel like you wish you could go to a certain country, or you're just very flexible? Wherever you are called to go,
mm-hmm.
you're very open, and you just do your best to be in that country and
yes.
serve our kababayans. Because, I mean, it's very important to have a consulate in countries where there's a lot of Filipinos.
Correct, yes.
And it just feels so good. I feel like I'm not in your position, but I feel that your job is actually very rewarding.
It
yeah.
is. It
yeah.
is. It is very rewarding. This job has brought me to three countries in three continents, I should say. My first assignment was
mm-hmm.
in the Middle East.
Oh, wow.
So I spent a few years in the
mm-hmm.
Middle East, and my primary role during the time was assistance to national sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the Middle East,
yeah.
we have lots of Filipinos who may need assistance from the
yes.
government,
yes.
from the embassy.
Yeah.
And that was really challenging
mm-hmm.
during my time there, because as a young officer then, I was a vice consul then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking to myself, every decision that I do will have an effect to lives of people.
Yes, yes.
Whatever recommendation I make, whatever decision I make, will have an impact to their lives and their livelihoods.
Yes.
So
yes.
that's why it's very important. As a young officer, I'm aware that. Whatever I do, I should do it well,
mm-hmm.
because it's not only like I'm, you know, like usual office work that I do. I
yes,
do a job.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it will have impact on other people's
mm-hmm.
lives, and that becomes the job rewarding,
mm-hmm.
because the moment that I worked on it and then was able to, I know that I was able in one way or another help our kababayan, that's very fulfilling in itself.
Yeah, especially in countries where there's actually a lot of issues, right,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that arise. I know in the U.S. there may not be as much, as other countries, right? So of all the countries that you've been to where you assisted Filipinos, where do you think has been the most challenging?
Of course, it's in the Middle East.
Yeah.
By mere number of cases and to the different cases that we're handling here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is just one point of mm-hmm. Making this now I will call a vocation.
Yes. Yeah.
Really rewarding is that. Mm-hmm. In the Philippine Foreign Service, we are of course guided by three pillars,
mm-hmm.
and that is national integrity, economic
yes.
Diplomacy, and of course providing assistance to our fellow Filipinos all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of and of course part of that is promoting our culture.
Yes, yes.
And when I was my second posting, I was in Budapest in Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
And in that small Eastern European country where there were very few Filipinos, how can you highlight the profile of the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
like, and that's where cultural diplomacy
mm-hmm.
enters. I mean, the focus is on that
yes.
pillar, because we want to showcase and raise the level of awareness
yes.
of the Philippines.
That's right.
And during the time in the embassy, my ambassador was able to bring in the Bayanihan dancers,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
and there are some sports that happened there in Hungary, and we supported it as well. It's like every opportunity to highlight the name of the Philippines and the profile of the Philippines. That's what we do there in Europe.
Wow, that's amazing. So I think that's a good segue to, like, now our viewers probably don't know exactly what the consul or the consulate
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
role is in countries. So just in short, can you outline, like, some of the roles other than, of course, you're promoting national integrity, cultural awareness, and of course, what's the third pillar? Like,
well, that would be the protection.
Yeah, protection of
the rights and promoting the welfare of Filipinos.
Yeah.
So with that, as I mentioned earlier, I've experienced that working in the Middle East, because
mm-hmm.
that is part of it. But well, here in Houston, for example, my role really is to support the consulate general and the consul general in building strong relations with local stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
I focus on fostering dynamic economic and trade connections with local businesses as well.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, advocating the interests of Filipinos in an area. So,
mm-hmm.
and part of the work is, of course, strengthening the bond between Filipinos and Americans.
Oh, yes.
And even those engaging with fourth, fifth generation Filipino
mm-hmm.
Americans who want to know their heritage,
mm-hmm.
and that is something that we do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but here in the consulate, as I said, different assignments would have different core job. But here in the consulate, are aside from, of course, our primary is providing consular services
mm-hmm.
to the
mm-hmm.
Filipinos or Filipino Americans in our jurisdiction. So we issue passports, visas,
yeah.
Notarials, and all those things. But as I mentioned earlier, part of it is supporting in our economic diplomacy efforts,
yes.
and of course, in fostering good working relations with local officials here in our host city and our host state.
Yeah, and you know, I myself have benefited from the services of the consulate here in Houston. And
mm-hmm.
yes, I mean, and Filipinos from all around
yes.
Houston area, other states, other cities, they come here to get those services. And it's very, very useful. It's very, very helpful. Because imagine if we don't have one in Houston, What's the closest consulate from, is it California?
Before before opening the consulate here in 2018, Texas is being, and New Mexico are being handled by our Philippine Consulate General in Los Angeles.
LA, yeah.
And then with other jurisdictions, because we handle six states here in South Central United States, in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
Were being handled before by our Consulate General.
Oh, so wow. Imagine
yeah. imagine that one. Those people in the eastern part,
yeah.
They go
to
Chicago
yeah.
and then Texas and New Mexico.
We have to go to California.
Go west to California, to Los Angeles. So
yeah.
And I should say, this my 6 year stay in
mm-hmm.
Houston,
mm-hmm.
it's like we're always in honeymoon with the people.
Yeah.
People are, and the clients are generally been very appreciative that we are
mm-hmm.
here and we are
mm-hmm.
being able
to
provide services. That's why I always say that, you know, it feels like 6 years honeymoon with here in Houston, because
yeah.
Of course we do our best to serve our clients here
mm-hmm.
In Houston. We're very few here in the consulate in Houston. We're only 12,
mm-hmm.
three officers and support staff. And imagine 12 individuals here at the consulate serving around
six states,
uh-huh. 290,000 Filipinos, Filipino Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
But we try our best. Pagpasensya na ho kung may pagkukulang, but with the limited resources that we have, ginagawa natin yung serbisyo para sa tao.
Yeah, of course. And you know, there's no perfect system. And especially, we're fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's just your first set of officers here in Houston. So you actually set the foundation, right? So what, with the upcoming officers that will continue to serve this different six states here in Texas and surrounding states, I mean, you had a hard job of establishing the consulate here, but I think you did a great job. And without the consulate here, imagine how we'd be traveling like across just
correct.
To get
yes.
these services. So we should be very grateful. And I am very grateful for your presence here in Houston. I think we're going to go on our last break. Could you believe that? Yeah, we're going to go on our short break and we'll be back for the final segment of the show.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today and let's create magic together.
In a world cluttered with information, where truth is power, Law & Weekly News stands apart.
We delve deeper, uncover facts, and bring stories to light. From political showdowns and economic triumphs to the pulse of the street and the heart of the community.
We capture the moments that define us, stories that challenge, inspire, and transform.
Tune in live Sundays, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
All right, we're back and we're going to read some more comments before we continue our final chat with Consul Gilbert. So let's have some comments here from Rodrigo Fabia. Good morning, Mom MJ, watching from Posorubio, Pangasinan. And then we have Geraldine Garcia. Good evening, Texas, watching from Binyan, Laguna. More power, Lawin. And we have Rochelle DeSeco. Good evening, Texas. And another from Edward DeSeco or Shannon Shimek. Oh, hi, Shannon. Howdy. Thank you for watching. And then we have Edward DeSeco. Good evening, Texas. Good morning, Mom MJ. God bless po. Magandang umaga rin. And Ruby Vergara, whatever we do, do it all for the glory of the Lord. We all know that it's good to serve God. God bless us, sir. Yes. Tama ka dyan, Ruby. Maraming salamat. And then Edward DeSeco again. I think good evening, Texas. And I think that's it. So, wow, I can't believe we're in the final segment of the show. I feel like we don't have enough time. But of course, it's been a pleasure. But I just want to know, other than your parents, because of course your parents were your role models, are there any people in your life or mentors that you actually look up to and that you think you have learned from with their values and leadership skills and other things that have helped you or shaped you to the servant leader that you are now?
So I can think of three. I can think of three. All of them passed away already, but they have, I believe, you know, left lasting impact on my life and how I do things right now. I think well, as I said, aside from my parents, and by the way, my parents are still alive. My dad is 91 years old.
Wow.
And my mom is 86 years old.
Wow.
They're still in Quezon province. They're still alive and kicking, actually. Because I was the youngest, as I said, I was the youngest in the family. And I think I was born when they were in their 40s. That's why
Pahabol.
Yeah. Something like that. I
kaya
mean,
sabi nila, di ba, usually yung huli, kaya smart, talented. Did you know that Consul Gilbert actually sings?
That's a secret.
Okay.
So,
no, it's
anyway,
not a secret
so,
anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, of course, when I was in the seminary, there's this Spanish priest. His name is Father Emilio Pablo. He was my formator when I was in Zamboanga City. He's a missionary from Spain. And that, because he has, you know, served so long in the Philippines that he decided to actually become a naturalized Filipino citizen. And spent his
whole life
in the Philippines doing service. So his commitment to service and humility were really inspiring. And his dedication to the values of service and simplicity left a lasting mark on me. And then, well, in my professional career, I remember I had the honor of working with remarkable people, one of which was Ambassador Bernie Catalia. When I first joined the department in 2004, she was still the passport director then, but she was incredibly innovative and had a genuine belief in her team's potential. Her ability to nurture and develop talent was truly admirable. I mean, I was, as I said, I was contractual during the time, but when she, I think she saw that there's a potential with this person. I mean, you were given tasks and responsibilities that you know went beyond what a contractual
Roles
is. So that is something that I really appreciate. Unfortunately, we lost her during the first months of the pandemic in 2020. So she was one of the first victims of COVID in the Foreign Service, and the whole Department of Foreign of Affairs really, you know, felt
the loss
of a remarkable woman.
Yeah.
And another key mentor to me was Ambassador June Cardenas. He was my mentor when I was just a new officer, I was a member of, he was the leader of our DFA chorale, Department of Foreign Affairs chorale. So when you said that I was that I sing, okay. It's the chowariw of singing, you know, in the choir.
Okay.
I couldn't sing in a choir, but
yeah.
So he was he imparted actually two crucial lessons for me. First, to focus on building positive relationship rather than competing in a cutthroat environment. Because he said, like, for example, in the DFA, we have batchmates in the Foreign Service. Same year that you pass the Foreign Service exams, like co-consuls. Now most of our are consuls all over the world, and the competition is there. But he told me that, you know, work on building positive relationships, because in the end they will be your batchmates, and they will be your colleagues in the department. So that really, you know, stuck on me. And then the second one is that nobody is indispensable in this job, meaning because sometimes we may feel that, oh, I'm the only one who can do that that job. But if you are able to, you know, impart your knowledge, help a colleague, for example, develop and mature as well, then this will become a partnership. And that reminds me of what a servant leader should be. You know, it's like sharing what you know and empowering also our colleagues to do that.
Yeah, and it holds true in any profession, in any vocation.
Correct.
We are supposed to lift each other up. Because if we don't equip other people, if we don't share our skills, our knowledge, if we don't try to mentor other people to do what we can do, it makes up the work even harder, right? If there is teamwork, it makes the job easier. It makes the job more fun.
Correct.
So I really applaud and I really admire those people that actually do not forget the foundations of leadership, right?
Correct.
And I appreciate you, because I'm hearing it firsthand from Consul Gilbert. And I really hope and pray that more people would be like you, that we want to be together. We want to be united as one. We are here to help each other. We're not here to compete. After all, we are representing our culture. We are representing our country. We're not just representing ourselves, but our country.
Correct, yes.
And your family. So whatever, when people see you, you are not showing who you are, but you're showing actually where you came from.
Correct.
Yes. Right? So that is very important. And wow, I am so inspired by the thoughts and the ideas and the inspiration that you have been sharing to all of us, to me and our viewers tonight. And I just want to ask you, so what are the core beliefs and values that have been guiding you both in your personal and your professional life? Because I think that's very important. Because when we have those already grounded, then wherever we go, we're going to perform, we're going to live the purpose or the mission that we have in this world. So what are those beliefs and values that have been guiding you, that have made you to an awesome person that you are?
Well, I think I during the course of this podcast, this interview, I may have mentioned some of them already, from my background and those things that I said. But I think integrity is the cornerstone of that, of becoming an effective leader. It means being honest, transparent, of course, sticking to strong moral and ethical principles. And that is something that I aspire to. It's a journey.
You know? Yes, definitely.
We're not perfect, but that is something that I always strive to do, because because it's you. I mean, when I'm alone and I'm not, you know, talking with other people and I'm alone doing my self-reflection, that is something that only I myself will you know, like.
Yeah,
my integrity.
Uh-huh.
Like that is something that that I will always ask myself, if I've done it, you know, with honesty and with strong moral and ethical principle.
Yeah, that's true. Because, you know, I think they say when you're alone and when nobody is watching what you're doing, I think that's a test whether or not you're living up to the integrity that you want to build on yourself.
Yes,
and you're right. It's
a
journey. It's a work in progress.
Correct,
But that is very crucial. That's really one of the important values that a leader should really have. Because without integrity, people will not listen to you. People will not follow you. And you are creating something that is not true, right?
Yes.
So integrity is very important because that's your true self.
Correct.
Yes.
Another thing I believe is discernment is also crucial because it's teaching me to, you know, to make wise and thoughtful decisions because whatever, especially if we're under pressure, and this job is always under pressure, and in that, what I mentioned about what my father do in my quiet time, that is also the process of self-reflection, of discernment, of before I make, you know, make any decision. And I think related to that is empathy as well.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
you are able to put yourself in the shoes of another person. And that is really important. Of course, humility is also very important. And humility in a way that accepting the reality that I cannot do this alone.
Oh,
and
yes.
The help of
other
people to be able to, you know, to do a thing or do this journey. And, and that I believe this is very important as well. And the last thing I should say is adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we must be
you know, be able to adapt in wherever situation, whatever situation. Of course, it's sticking to your core values, but different situation calls for different approach.
Oh yes,
and I guess that's adaptability. And what makes and that makes my life easier, I guess, from transferring from one place to another, like even in physical environment, like from the Middle East, you know, the desert, hot and arid, and then going to Eastern Europe, which is, they have very cold winters. And then, you know, I think that's part of it.
Yes.
And even in the workplace, it's you have to be, you know,
adaptable.
Be able to adapt to things.
And I think that is one of the great characteristics of Filipinos, because you know, we are all over the world, so
correct,
I think it's
correct.
In us, it's actually something that we should be proud of, because whatever situation we have, we are taught to survive.
Yes,
right, wherever we go,
being resilient as well.
Yes. Yes, resilience, it's like it's a core value of a lot of Filipinos, and it's been very inspiring listening to you. My last question is, I know we're a little bit over time, but it's okay because we need 2 hours. we're just having so much fun here and we are just learning so much from you, Consul Gilbert. But my last question to you is, what has been the most rewarding part of your journey as a consul general representing or serving our kababayans all over the world?
Well, what defines this is I'm very thankful. They said working in the government is a thankless job because whatever you do, sometimes there will still be comments, and you know, but that's part of the job. But I mentioned earlier the some of the rewarding, you know, things being in this job is, of course, be able to directly assist another person. Meaning, for that person to have, you know, to have a tangible form of help that you can give to another person. Another rewarding aspect of this job as well is that, especially here in Houston, is being able to meet with dedicated people as well. I mean, mm-hmm. when I talk with some of the community leaders, mm-hmm. I tell them directly that I'm inspired of what you're doing. You know, mm-hmm. you have your day job, mm-hmm. and then during the weekends, yeah. You're doing this charity, you're doing this activity. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of partnership of the civil society with mm-hmm. with the government, and that is community service, mm-hmm. and that's rewarding because I get to meet people with those ideas, with those dedication, and sometimes nakukuha mo eh, mm-hmm. you know, the energy nakukuha mo, and mm-hmm. that it is something that makes me like you know, serve more.
Yeah, it motivates you to do better, correct. Because you are inspired by these fellow Kababayans who have also that goal or mission in life to serve our community. And I've been blessed myself having met people like you, mm-hmm. and having met a lot of our community leaders here in the Houston area. And that inspires me too, as you're right. You're very right. We have our day jobs, mm-hmm. we have our full-time jobs, but we still want to contribute. We still want to contribute to the community. And that's what makes life actually more meaningful, correct. And fulfilling. Because I can't imagine living just for myself. I don't know.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. It's hard to imagine doing that. Because the more you serve and the more you give, the more joyful life is, because there's joy in giving, there's joy in serving, and it just, I don't know, like Christian, right? You agree with that? We do this because we love to contribute, no matter how small or big that is. It doesn't matter, you know, one small thing, one good small seed of kindness, mm-hmm. that we do can make a big difference in a lot of our other people's lives. So Consul Gilbert, I know it's been a very interesting and very inspiring evening with you, but I think we gotta end the show, or we're gonna be here all morning, right? So, but we're gonna have to do our raffle before we end the show. So let's see. We're actually gonna draw two winners, because our very generous winner for last week, Tito Flor Ginhawa, has donated his prize. So we're gonna draw two winners for tonight. So let's see. All right. Shall we draw the first winner? Drum roll. Okay. Wow. Rodrigo Fabia. Sorry.
It's lagging.
Oh, okay. So it's actually Geraldine Garcia. Congratulations, Geraldine. And you're going to be contacted, or you can message me on my messenger, MJ Versosa Concepcion, and how to claim your prize. Let's draw the next one. Amadeo Junio. Okay. Congratulations, and sana manood ulit kayo. I know these people have been regularly watching our show, and I'm really very, very grateful. But tonight, what are your last words of inspiration and advice to all our viewers?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for MJ for this opportunity to share more on the personal side of myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, here in Houston, for example, our community here, they see us often in events and in activities that we have here. But you know, sharing something more personal, uh-huh. about myself, about why, what are the values that are valuable to me.
Yes, yes.
And basically my journey, mm-hmm. because I'm I'm a co journeyer. I mean, we yes. journey together in, yes. In this life. You know?
Oh, that's absolutely true.
At this point, I'm in Houston. In mm-hmm. a few months' time, I'll be leaving Houston. Mm-hmm. So that would be another journey. But it's a journey well traveled. So I'm yes. very happy and I'm very thankful. And maraming salamat sa iyong mga manonood for, you know, taking the time to watch us. And I hope that I was able to impart some of my experiences. I'm not sure if they are really inspiring, but thank you. Sana po may nakuha kayo sa sharing namin na ito.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, here in Be Bold, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. We want to share stories because the power of a story is it cannot be neglected, because it's through experiences that we can actually make an impact, because mm-hmm. again, with our experiences, we are able to help other people that might be going through the same stuff that we have gone through, and we have the wisdom to share. So here in Be Bold, that's what we do. We're here to empower, we're here to motivate, we're here to inspire you. So again, to all our viewers, thank you so much for watching us tonight. Watch us again on Monday for our final episode of season 3. So maraming salamat po. Good night, everyone, and God bless. Bye.